On Friday, I was doing my study. Well, a week ago Friday, I was doing a study with Abney. And he said something to me I want to share with you. It was really pretty cool. Really, you know, I love it when I hear people, they're really getting it. We'll talk about that in a quick sec. But yesterday during our study, I had the family on, like usual. I had Abney's wife, the daughter, and Adrian and Florin, who's supposed to be coming here. But I seen Rihanna hurry out. That's the daughter. And then Adrian headed out in a hurry, and Abney looked concerned, and pretty soon I was talking to Florian, and Abney bolted out the door. And I thought, okay, it looked like somebody threw a grenade in the room or something. And Abney came rushing back, and he said they were going to have to, you know, stop. His mom, 84 years old, was outside walking around in the city or something. I don't know what happened, and get all the details. And it's only 100 degrees yesterday in Pristina. She fell. So they had to get her into a hospital. So they got hold of me later and said she's in the hospital, hip is broken. But apparently she's also had a heart attack. So her heart's in bad shape. They can't do nothing with a broken hip because she may not survive this whole thing. And Florian called me, said need to talk because things are kind of going a little bit south. He's supposed to come here Wednesday, Florian. I said, you take care of your family, man. He said, well, and by the way, Dad's in the emergency room now. He can't breathe. I said, you take care of your family. So, you know, it happens, you know, we've talked about that all the time. Just because we're Christians, we're not unaffected by the things that happen, common to man. We all go through these various trials. So, even though, you know, DJ was able to share, we got a lot going on, and Florian is a part of that. He was going to share a message about what they're doing with the young people there for Christ in Kosovo. And there'll be another lady is supposed to come, Belkizia. As far as I know, Florin told me yesterday, I'm going to talk to her to see if she's comfortable coming by herself. She's traveled more. He's the young guy. She's a little older. She's 50 or something. I don't know. I'm going to talk to her and her husband to see what her plan is. So anyway, I'll get an update today. Probably sometime this afternoon. But anyway, so prayers for that family, for all of them, if you can. But what I wanted to share today, what prompted my lesson, Abney is a prolific writer. I mean, the guy, you know, mentioned before, remind some people, you know, he was here. He's got quite a life. You know, he was a prisoner of the Serbs for 5 years, suffered a lot. But he's an academic, or whatever you call it. I mean, he was a professor of human rights, democratic governance, writes papers, technical papers. I mean, boring stuff. He eats up information, and he loves the scripture. I mean, he's one that never batted an eye when we went through scriptures, when we were able to, you know, spend the time in teaching him. So he's decided he wants to write a book, he was telling me, about the people that suffered during the war who have missing loved ones. Now, we've been involved with some years. The first where I actually met him was at a meeting of the Association of the Missing. Well, he told me something the other day I didn't realize. He said, Stevie, I founded those things, because the man I always met there was a man named Byram. He was running the meeting when I met Abney there. years ago. I said, well, I didn't know you started them. He said, I did. I started more than one of them, you know, in Kosovo, because about every district there has got an office of the office, you know, of the Association of the Missing. You know, that's really hard. We don't get any closure. You know, your loved one just is gone. And you don't know, you assume they're not alive anymore. But, in fact, Benny, I don't know, some of you guys, if Troy was here, he'd remember. He's the one that introduced Benny to me. Benny used to mow our lawn. Benny's from Kosovo. And Troy introduced me to him. So one time me and Benny went there because he was going to introduce me to his contacts and people over there. And we went to that meeting together when we met Abney. So me and Benny have been back there a couple times. But Benny was really, you know, coming out of that meeting of the missing, and he was kind of emotional. And I'm like, Benny, really, realistically, you know, it's been over 20 years. Do the people really think, you know, they're ever going to know whatever happened to their loved ones? Because they're probably not around anymore. He said, no. They know. I said, who knows? He said, the Serbs know. In order, because they were paramilitaries and mercenaries that did those atrocities. And they got paid to do it. Like what's his name? Putin doing in the Ukraine. He went and got him some of them, Wagner Group. They're mercenaries. They get paid to do it, and they love doing what they do, and I don't want to tell you what they do. He said, oh, no, they know. They had to have your ID in order to get paid. And they had to have photos of burning your house in order to get the bonus. I go, wow. He said, Serbia, Belgrade, not Montana. In Belgrade, Serbia, he said, they have all that information. They know what happened to those people. But in order, they won't give it up because that would be an admittance that they did it. And they deny they did it. It's politics. We ain't going there. So anyway, Abney was telling me, I want to write this book. So what he was doing, he said, he started going around because he started a lot of those associations. He wanted to talk to some of these families of the association about how they're doing now. You know, how they're getting by, what's going on with them now after 27 years for some of them. And then he told me, he said, I can't believe it. Many of them are still exactly where they were at 27 years ago. Empty, broken, distraught, depressed, whatever you would imagine people coming through something like that. He said, the people I'm talking to, that's where they're still at. After he said, he emphasized 27 years. Now, some of you might recall, and it wasn't that all that long ago, I was sharing a message. It's obvious time does not heal all wounds. It's a saying. In fact, people do say time heals all wounds. No, it does not. You eventually get around and you cope. You come to a point of acceptance and you go on, but you are still affected. And probably seriously affected. Your joy has been stolen from you, your peace, your hope, a whole lot of things. You may be functional, but you were robbed of all of that. Yet, and I know we've said it many times, we've looked at Romans 15:13. Paul's writing to Christians, just a general epistle, kind of getting to where he's going to sign off here. And he says, and now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's divine. To have all joy, all peace, and to be able to abound in hope has to come from a divine source. You can't manufacture that. Oh, I know people go out on the street and try to buy that stuff in little bottles under the cover of darkness or something to, you know, snort up their nose or something, and they think that they're flying high and having all joy and peace, but it ain't in believing. And their only hope is, I hope I can get some more tomorrow, because it ain't going to last. You're going to come crashing down. Our source for all our joy, our peace, in order to abound in hope, is going to come from a divine source. A divine source. That's why them people are still stuck where they're at after 27 years. Now, we all know that. I know I've talked like that and shared like that. But what thrilled me is that it blew his mind. He is one of them victims. He was on that wall when you walk in the office or the meeting area of the Association of the Missing. The place is plastered with photographs of all these men and women all over the wall. And Avni told me when I first met him, he wasn't talking to me directly, but he said, I was on that wall for 5 years missing. But he was found, him and others, by the International Red Cross in a prison in Serbia. And there was a negotiation and prisoners got released. He stood right here and told y'all what happened when the car and the Red Cross had him in, brought his family. They were like over there and Avni over here. And he got out of the car real slow, but he was close enough to hear his wife and his mother. And the wife said, it's a mistake. It isn't him. And I think he stood right here and said, I died when I heard that. He said, I died. And the kid was running around. I think it was Florian. He's a little boy. Avni said, whose boy is that? His mother said, that's Avni's voice. And she fainted. He was a skeleton. But you know, we immersed him here 7-8 years ago. I mean, I'm not going to get all into his trial because I got things I want to share. But the bottom line is, he doesn't have all that burden. He was shocked to hear others did. You see, it's amazing what God can do in all of us while we are not even realizing. You know, growth just seems slow when the kids are small. It seems like they're always so little, you just can't wait till they grow up. And then one day they're standing there looking in your face asking if they can borrow the car keys. And you're like, what happened? So fast it seems. Sometimes seems slow, sometimes seems pretty fast. That happens. Our growth sometimes is very slow, and we don't even perceive the work that God is working in us. If we keep working our part, putting on, putting off, learning, growing, developing our faith. And I just want you to know something, too. I've said it before, but say it again. One, time is not the healer of the wounds. But know this, suffering is suffering. Sometimes we use these extreme examples of what people have been through. You don't have to be in a war, or in a famine, or in an earthquake, or a flood. Your life could be, in many ways, before a lot of people, your life could be fine. You know, I know I've mentioned before, what was his name? Robin Williams. You know, everybody thought he's the funniest guy in the whole world, you know. Like, he's always so, like, happy-go-lucky. You could look right in that guy's eyes and realize that he was hiding. He was putting forth what he knew that people expected to see in him. So he always, and a lot of people, some people that use a lot of humor all the time, they're always making a joke. I'll about guarantee you, that's a defense. They don't want you to look any closer than that because they're dying inside. And you know what Robin Williams finally did? That they found him, he was hanging. He took his own life. And everybody was just shocked. Money, fame, fortune, it's like they seemed to have it all. Jesus made it clear, a man's life is not measured by the things he possesses. There's nothing external in the things that you might have that can fill you. We all have a void. When that first time, when we start that life of sin, which separates us from our God, there's going to be an emptiness that nobody... All the king's horses and all the king's men are never going to be able to put you back together again, oh Humpty Dumpty. You need the gospel. You need transformation. You need the power of God. Everything else you try to do, just a Band-Aid. Just a Band-Aid. You can go to church 7 times, 8 days a week. Get baptized a half a dozen times. If you're not truly born again and grown in your most holy faith, going from being a babe in Christ and maturing right on up the line until Christ be formed in you, you're going to have a deficit. There's only one solution. The Apostle Peter makes it clear, you have purified your souls when you obey truth. What truth? This truth. And not, as Jesus well brought out, not to traditions and doctrines of men. Well, how do you know that what you believe as far as your faith, is it based in traditions of men or in the Word of God? Well, that's really actually pretty simple. Here is the Word of God. There's no traditions of men going to be in here. It's the Word of God. But it'll come out of their pulpits. It'll come out of their mouth. It'll come out of what they tell you. And you realize, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, that wasn't so hard. Figure that out. Okay. The purification of the soul comes in obeying the word of truth. That's not a law. What I'm saying, I'm not binding the law. This ain't a burden, man. This is called freedom. What a relief to know you can possess something in your lap that never gets outdated, endures forever, heaven and earth pass away, these words will never pass away. You can read them over and over and over again. You can memorize them. You can have them on your phone. You can have them in your pocket. Have access to it all the time. The other things that get flying around out there, that's just out there in cyberspace or whatever. It's out there. Oh, it's easily to get to on the internet, I guess, if you want to look for it. But take this. So, in Matthew 4, starting in verse 15, it's actually... prophecy out of the book of Isaiah. When Jesus, first it was John the Baptist going around preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He got thrown in prison. So then Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, and Matthew 4:12, he departed into Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet 700 years previously. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sit in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, repentance ain't a bad word. It's good news. Repentance is simply a turning. Look, you've just come to the fork in the road. Now, I'm not quoting Yogi Berra here, Don. and I said that one time. Yogi Berra supposedly, famously said, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. We do come to a situation in our lives, each and every one of us, where suddenly we're at a point, a critical point, hopefully, a crucial time in our life when we need to make a decision. We realize, you know what? I got to do something. This ain't working for me. Life. Life is not working for me. I'm suffering. I've screwed them all up. I keep trying to do the right thing. Don't work. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean well, you know, but that's just the way the scripture brings out. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of the ways of death. It don't work out like we think. And finally you realize I need help. And then God is listening, who searches the hearts. This is decision time, and we have to make a choice, and we start really looking. Now, this road over here seems the road less traveled. Kind of looks kind of narrow, kind of confining. The other looks like a four-lane highway lit up, plenty of, you know, lights and rest areas down the road and all kinds of easy way, you know. The temptation would be to take the easy road, the big wide road with the big gate. But you realize I've been on that road and it never takes me where I think. I always end up in a bad place when I take that road. I'm going to try this road less traveled. Gary and I just went to Greenfield Village the other day and stand there and what was his name? Stephen Foster? Robert Foster. I didn't know he wrote that poem on the road less traveled. Oh, Robert Frost. We're standing in the dude's house. The poem was on the wall at Greenfield Village. That was for free. But it was a great poem. The people sitting in darkness suddenly saw great light. Jesus began to unpackage that. And you know what that is, he said? He said, be ready. Make that turn. Here's your opportunity. Repent, because repentance is the beginning of this road to salvation. You need to get on it. The kingdom of heaven is right in front of you. It is at hand, and that kingdom came into this world 2,000 years ago. Light has dawned for the individual. For the individual seeking it. The rest remain in darkness. The Apostle Peter says that what this gospel is actually about, it's a calling. It's a calling. What is the calling? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that God's people are a chosen generation. You've been duly elected and selected for this if you are willing to respond. In 1 Peter 2 and 9, you are a chosen generation now. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may now proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. You're called out of that darkness. Now remember, keep in mind, we're talking about people that we just said that Avni realized they're still sitting in the darkness they were in 27 years ago. I know I mentioned before, in fact, we were doing another study with a different group of people. There was Ukrainians on there. In fact, Slava was on there. Jeff knows Slava down Nikopol. I didn't realize, I can't read them Russian names, so I didn't know he was actually on there. But I was sharing with them what Avni had said, and Slava pipes right up. Yeah, blah, 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 in that Russian, and he affirmed it too. if the last shot was fired in Ukraine today, potentially 27 years from now, Ukrainians would still be suffering from the after effects of that war. Again, you don't have to be in a war. Don't ever forget that. I'm using worst case scenarios because people fear that stuff. But what about here? Our own backyards. I already mentioned Robin Williams. People that take their lives, people that destroy themselves. And they live in the United States. I know I've told you before, I've met people that think people in America don't have no problems. Everybody is in that darkness. And this is what they need to know. They've been called out. This is what Christ is trying to do. Call the people out of that darkness and into the marvelous light. In Colossians chapter 1, because Jesus went right in to tell them, now it's here, get ready, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You people, you Gentiles especially, we're Gentiles, sitting in the darkness, have suddenly seen great light. So Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, he, God, has delivered us from, Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us, where? Into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We've been transferred into that kingdom, the kingdom of light, in Ephesians, he says here in Colossians, did I say that right? Domain of darkness, okay, into the kingdom of his son. Domain, we've been in that domain, that's people where they're sitting in that darkness. Now in Ephesians 5, in Ephesians chapter 5, he tells the Christians, verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, there's some action now. This is where we embrace this. We get on that road, that highway of holiness, and we get moving out. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's not a one-time event like you get zapped or something and now you're just suddenly there and all these blessings come in, transformation takes place while you passively sit there and watch. No. It's a calling. You need to respond to the calling. It's right in front of us. He's provided the way that people can come out of that. As sad as it may be for so many people that find themselves in life just suffering, no hope, they're down in the basement in their minds. And I'll tell you what, I've been there. You can't hardly pump them up, man. They've already given up. Already have just given up. They don't do one thing. I mean, they'd love to have you do it for them, but that is out of the question. Jesus himself did not come down here to just, you know, he's done it all. He paved the way and then tells us, okay, now look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ain't nobody getting the Father but by me. So let's go, deny yourself, take up cross, armor up, let's go. But wait, this way, follow me. This isn't some event that now just kaboom, blows us all away. You were once darkness, Paul said, but now you're light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. If you just look over, I can do this. Look right over on the other side of my page, and that's Ephesians 4. What is the darkness? He tells us what it is. Number one, we are no longer to walk like we did when we were Gentiles. Without God, without hope in this world, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of the mind. That's what we were. We were enemies, Colossians 1 says. Where? In our minds. The problem was in our where we think, in our thought life. and what we believed at the time, with a focus on not things above, but of the world, because look, everyone's got a mindset somewhere. And if you don't have this knowledge of God, you are by default focused on the world. And there is no hope in this world, and that's why it looks like it does. Even though this message, this light, this truth, coming out of Old Testament visions and dark speeches, was fully realized in the New Testament. This is not written in visions and dark speeches, riddles and enigmas, like the old was. That's why some people say, I try to read that Isaiah or that Ezekiel, man, and my eyeballs get crossed. I can't figure out what he's even talking about. I said, you're looking at shadows. Shadows have not the detail in it. You might get some idea what's going on by looking at a shadow. Well, turn around and look at the substance that's cast in the shadow. Oh, well, that's what that is. Huh, scared me at first. Thought something was creeping up behind me. Turn around and look at the reality cast in the shadow. Don't forget, the reality is between you and the sun. And that's what casts a shadow. Don't look at a shadow. The shadow's past. Look what casts a shadow. The New Testament did. I've said before, you got to think about it for a minute. The Bible's actually written backwards according to the prophecy of Isaiah. God said, I am God, none like me. I'll tell you the end of something from the very beginning. So he's telling you how what this is all about, the reality. But the first thing you see is the shadow. But when you turn around and see the reality that cast it, then it makes sense. He knew this. I think we mentioned it in our study. All this was in place. This is God's eternal purpose. Well, I'll tell you what. Are you still in Ephesians? Turn to chapter 3. To make all know, verse 9, Ephesians 3 and 9, what is the fellowship of mystery? Mystery is what? The hidden truth. The hidden truth, it was hidden, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That's us, by the way, brother, and the Christians. We are able to unpackage this stuff and make it known. It was kept a secret since the very beginning, since the foundation can be made known now to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places who are watching, trying to figure it out. That's what 1 Peter 1 tells us. Angels wanted to look into these things. Angels wanted to look into it. They want to know too, hey man, what's going on? This is about their judgment. They had a vested interest in knowing what's going on. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose, eternal. This was God's plan before there was a world. Now been revealed, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what Paul said right there in Ephesians 3. How intentional is this anyway? Pretty intentional. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. No longer to walk like you did when you was Gentiles in futility of mind. Here's your darkness. Your understanding was darkened. You were alienated from the life of God. Because of your ignorance that was in us. Because of what? The blindness. Blindness is pretty dark too. Of your heart. Giving ourselves over to all kind of lewdness, uncleanness, greediness. No more. No more. That's where you're at if you don't have the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. If you don't have that, you are by default in that darkness, and you can go around and around and around in circles. You'll never find your way out of there because you're blind. Be like blind men groping along the walls forever, not able to find your way out of there. This is the only solution. We've talked a little bit before. I know sometimes people out there, they've gone to counseling. I mean, you as I have too. back in the day. They might have said a lot of right things, and maybe some of it was encouraging, but it never got me out of where I was at. I'd go out there and just keep drinking, man. Didn't do any good. You have to go through a process of the transformation of the renewing of your mind, and you got to have God Almighty working that transformation, a circumcision taking place in you, done without hands. It's a circumcision done by Christ. We're not talking about some minor lifestyle changes. If you're struggling with things from the darkness of the past, things that happened, you can't not know what you've already now seen. You can't unsee what you've seen, these poor people. And you don't, again, have to be in a war zone or any other place or overseas. It's right here. It's everywhere. And such were, as Paul would say, some of you. I would like to say, and that was most of you. You're humans. I am too. It's my story. It's your story. No longer should your understanding be darkened. You shouldn't be separated from Christ now. All that was the result of you being in the darkness that Christ came and called us out of. Called us not only out of the darkness, I like how Peter said he called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. When Paul gives his testimony, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he told King Agrippa, he said, man, I'll tell you what, O king, he was persecuting the early church, and he had a mission. His mission was to go and find as many of these so-called Christians, get a hold to them, and bring them in prison with men and women. You see, he was doing that in Acts 8. He said, you know, I got blinded, Lord, or King Agrippa, on the road, and a voice talking to me, Saul, Saul, persecute me. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Stand on your feet. Got a mission for you. I'm going to send you to the nations. I'm going to send you to the world. Make you witness of the things you've seen and heard that I'll reveal to you. I'll deliver you from the Jewish people and Gentiles. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to them. I want you to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan. There's an intelligent evil here we're dealing with, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and receive an inheritance, eternal life, for those who are sanctified by faith in me. Woo! That's a calling. Right out of that darkness into the marvelous light. Turn them from that darkness. Jesus made it clear in John chapter 12, in Big John chapter 12. I have come as a light into this world. Big John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in the darkness. There's hope. There is a way out now that never was there before. Not under that old law-based system. I mean, it had its purposes, and it did work, but that tedious, constant offering of sacrifices, animal sacrifices, feast days, washings, that couldn't produce practicing righteousness in the people that observed it. You know, Christ died for their sins. Those are the righteous dead of the Old Testament. And boy, they do make quite a cloud of witnesses for us, according to Hebrews chapter 12. They went through some tough stuff too. Nobody skates. But their salvation comes in Christ Jesus, according to Hebrews 9:15. But had to have it that way at the first. But now, but I'm going to let drift your eyeballs back across that page. If you're looking at John 12 and 46, at least in my Bible you can. I want you to just look at verse 35 for a second. Because coming out of that darkness, Jesus said, look what he says. A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, and we do, brethren, right in our laps. While you have the light, he said, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. It's a process. Process. You were sometime darkness. Now you're a light in the Lord, so walk like it. Notice how he said that. It's not like we just are zapped. We're not zapped. He's telling you got your potential. That's a prophetic perfect. You were once darkness. Now you are light in the Lord, so walk like it. Now he says, that sound kind of crazy? Look, am I or aren't I? Yes. So do it. You have the potential. Got the power. Got the information. Why you still have the light? Walk in the light. You got it in your lap. See, you got to do something. Walk in it then. Walk while you have the light. He said, look, because people that walk in darkness don't know what they're doing. We've already been there and done that. Go into all the world. Preach, make disciples. Look, you don't know what you don't know. And you can't give what you don't have. These people don't know what they don't know, but we can't give it. It's our mission, commission to go do it, but we can't give it if we don't have it either. If we don't buy ourselves. What a blessed opportunity God gives all of us to be a part of not only working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who's actually doing the work. He's the one working in us. But to be a part of the salvation of other people's souls. My hope, my prayer is that Florin will be able to get here. If not, well, grab him later. He's got a 5-year visa. But here's the deal. They're coming here. But Kezia's going to share with these women, with the women's, if she comes. And I don't think that she won't. I think she could handle the travel. Of a terrible darkness. But I want her really to know and to see. You'll like her. She's a real nice lady. And I want Florence to. We want to put the frosting on. One of the reasons why we're bringing them here is for this very thing. That's a whole new work over there. They want to work with those people that have been in there, but they can't give what they don't know. This is what they have got to not only get the data and see the information, they have got to see it with the eyes of their understanding. I do, you do, everybody do. That's how this works. We're just not regurgitating cliches or catchy phrases or, you know, Bible stuff. You got to internalize it, see it, believe it. That truth, Jesus said, you'll know the truth. That's how he means you'll know it. You will know it. And that truth, you internalize it, will set you free. It'll call you from that darkness into the light. I'm excited about them coming here. They're going to be encouraged, I know, under the big tent. I'm sure they will, and I don't even know what the guys are going to say, but I already know it's going to be encouraging. But a group of us that know them, that was in the last trip to Kosovo, we're going to take them to the shack Sunday night and fine-tune it over Sunday night and all day Monday and send them back. I'm just praying to God it'll work that work that we're hoping for. It can, and we're just excited that that may all come to pass. I told Florian, if you can't come, man, I'm going to take you. You come here, we'll get you here, and we got other camps to go on, and me and you can do that together. But keep it in prayer. Thank you for your attention. God bless. Let's stand and be dismissed.